Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek, along with Mr. Veh Bezdikyan, our co-host from St. Sarkis Church, with a new episode of the podcast. As we do every week, let us start our program and our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church.
Yergnavor takavor. Դուր ինձի քու արքայությունդ, զորքես սիրողներուն խոստացար, եւ զորացուր իմ սիրտս, որբեսի մեղքը ադեմ, եւ միայն քեզ սիրեմ, եւ քու գամքդ կադարեմ, եւ ողորմե քու արարածներուդ, եւ ինձի բազմամեղիս. Heavenly King, grant me your kingdom which you promised to your beloved, and strengthen my heart to hate sin and to love you only and to do your will. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am. So, how was your Halloween there, Narek?
You mean the fall festival that we had here at St. Sarkis Church?
Yes, the fall festival, of course, there, Narek. But most of the world refers to it commonly as Halloween.
Well, here at St. Sarkis Church, we call it fall festival. And our Saturday school, the PTA, had organized a very unique fall festival. And you know what was unique about it? We were serving pizza, and we were serving Armenian pizza, and that was delicious. But I wanted to celebrate along with the kids and everybody else, so for that reason, I was wearing an orange pumpkin t-shirt.
I did notice you joined in the fun this year.
I did. I was not being a priest. I was just being an orange pumpkin, and my kids had fun.
Okay, our listeners are probably wondering right now, why do you dislike Halloween?
Because it's a pagan kind of celebration. It is something that has its origin in the practice of the Roman Catholic Church, because it's the Eve of Hallows. There's a day for them to remember the dead. And it is taken out of proportion to a point that it has become a culture where people are celebrating the dead, they're celebrating ghosts, and I do not endorse that. And some people would just say, oh, we're just having fun. But I think when you expose yourself to that side of the ugly reality, and I'm saying reality because it's not a fantasy, it exists, you are putting your soul in a very dangerous place. And that is my main concern. You know, it's okay to wear an orange pumpkin t-shirt to have fun with your kids, to go trick-and-treating, but when it's taken beyond that, then I have a little problem.
I can certainly understand that, especially someone in your position to be not a big fan of Halloween.
But are you a fan?
You know, I'm not a fan personally. It's more about enjoying it for my children and seeing the excitement, the enthusiasm of my girls, both wanting to be princesses and talking about it for weeks at a time, you know, wanting to be prepared for Halloween and what they're going to be wearing, and then actually coming to the party and taking them trick-or-treating. Just, it's more of an American tradition. I guess I don't really examine the full meaning of the spirit of what the holiday is about.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not against trick-or-treating. I took my kids. I enjoyed some of the candies that we got. And, you know, that is okay. But anything beyond that, I'm a little concerned.
So. Right. I can see how a lot of people take it to an extreme, especially when the adults are out dressed as ghosts and goblins and, you know, all kinds of different costumes. You know, there's the Dawn of the Dead focus these days, the Walking Dead or what have you with zombies. But for some reason, our society has really taken up with it. But I like to minimize all that, and I look at what the spirit of how our children get to enjoy the holiday, and we had fun with it.
It's our first show in the month of November, and it's okay for us to play a little rock and roll, right?
Absolutely.
November Rain.
I would never object to any rock and roll any month of the year, let alone November. So
excellent.
The more we play, the better.
You remember last week we were discussing the results of, or the feedback that we got from the survey, and we're still getting feedback. And some of the comments that we read had to do with us trying to introduce people from the community who are successful, who have their careers, and hear their perspectives on various things. And today, I think we are listening to the advice in that feedback, and we decided to invite a good friend of ours, Dr. Alex Manishan. Now, Alex, welcome to the podcast. Before we start, let me ask you, are you related to Ve?
Thank you, Nari, for having me tonight. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, Ve and I are related. Natalie's my wife, Natalie Manishan, who I think all of you know, and Natalie and Ve are cousins, and that really makes, I think, me and Ve cousins.
Thank you, Alex. And full disclosure, I was not lobbying for Alex to be our first successful professional, but I am quite happy that he did get the nod from Der Nuttig, and I'm happy to be part of the interview today.
Well, Alex, I think I need to go back to school just to be able to pronounce your specialty.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's. I'm not going to talk too much about what I do, but essentially I'm a oral and maxillofacial surgeon. I've been out of residency about 12 years now, and I practice in Mineola and Port Washington with a great group of guys. We do a variety of different procedures, from simple things like taking out wisdom teeth and dental implants to full, you know, reconstructive facial surgery on trauma patients, tumor patients, corrective jaw surgery on younger adults. So it's a exciting field. It's evolving continuously. Healthcare is evolving dramatically over the last few years. I mean, we can spend an hour talking about the evolution of healthcare in the last couple of years, even before Obamacare, things that were changing. I know everybody likes to blame Obama for all these problems, but we're not going to get into politics right now. But I think, you know, that's a discussion for another day. But I've been blessed with the opportunity to be part of my profession of oral and maxillofacial surgery. I see it as a responsibility to not only my patients, but the community at large, and especially our community, the Armenian community, to, you know, educate them in terms of what, not only what I do, but the stories that I can share with them, my, not only my successes are one thing, but my failures, and, through my failures, you know, came my successes. So,
can I ask, for the benefit of the listeners, what led you to go into this field of medicine? Out of all the choices, was there something that drew you to this line of work?
I mean, initially, as a young, I guess, teenager, I wanted to work with my hands. I enjoyed science. I was really good at math and science. I wasn't an artsy kid. I was athletic and scientific. So that was really my forte. And then I saw, you know, what a dentist can do. So I got interested in the dental field. So I went to McGill Dental School up in Canada. And then through that, I got interested in oral maxillofacial surgery. And I came to the United States in 1997. I trained a year at University of Pennsylvania, and then came here and did my formal residency at Long Island Jewish Medical Center, as well as going to medical school at Stony Brook. So I have a dental degree from McGill and a medical degree from Stony Brook. And it just, I just got excited about the field, and surgery was where I wanted to be. I mean, the first face transplant was performed by an oral maxillofacial surgeon in the United States. So, I mean, we have exciting technologies and advances that we've made. I'm part of some exciting things, but our specialty is, I think, an exciting place to be.
It sounds like you've had a very successful and exciting journey, but I got to tell you, it took you a year to be part of the podcast. A year ago, your son was here with us, and we had an interview with him before us inviting you. He was part of a great play. Tell us about Michael.
Michael's, you know, of course, like every parent, they love their children, and Michael's kind of a special human being. He's like an old soul. He's only 11 years old, but I can talk to him like I can talk to some of my colleagues. Last year, we talked about Christmas Story, the musical that he was in at the Northport Theater, and this year he got another part. It's an ensemble role at the same theater, the Professional Theater at Northport, and he'll be performing on a show called Miracle on 34th Street, starting at the end of November, and I think goes till early January. If you guys do want to buy tickets, he'll be on the green cast. So there's two kids cast, one red cast and a green cast. So he'll be, I believe, on the green cast. So if you do call, if any of the parishioners want to call and get tickets, please ask, you know, for the green cast, because that's where Michael's going to be in.
And I recall last year where there was a nice showing from St. Saki's Church, and I believe Natalie coordinated one particular day where I believe half of the theater may have been St. Saki's parishioners. Hopefully we'll get another strong showing again for Michael and his new show.
That was a great experience for me also. I was there and I enjoyed it. I mean, Christmas Story is one of my favorite movies, as we spoke about last year. Natalie and Alex, you guys are involved with our Saturday school. And one of the comments that we were hearing on the survey was that, why don't you introduce and interview people who are successful in their careers and let them also speak about what ties them to the community, to the church? So with you and Natalie being kind of affiliated with our Saturday school, that I think it's a very important tie, but we know that you are developing another tie. Alex, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Really, I think the idea came about in my backyard when, thank you, Darren Nardik, for attending our boys' birthday party, which you do every year, and so does Ve. We really have a great time with all of you. And, you know, as usual, we were sitting around having fun and watching all the kids have fun and the adults have fun. And, of course, as usual, we were trying to solve the world's problems. And then we were talking about education as a, you know, one of the problems that not only the United States has, but a lot of other countries have in terms of educating their populace. And, you know, we decided there's a pretty big need or a gap between the years that someone is developing in high school, where they're looking at colleges and potential career options, and their final career choice. So they are not really exposed to certain professions or a lot of professions. And so we kind of left with that idea, and you know, we said goodbye that day, and we had fun. And I kind of thought about it over the next few weeks after that, and I called you back, and I said, "Darnarek, let's do this." So we came up with, you know, first we had to come up with a mission statement and a name for the program. Right now, I'm calling it the St. Syracuse Youth Mentoring Program because I don't want to divulge the title of the program until next Friday. I want it to be a surprise for the youth club members, but we have a nice title for the program, and we also have a mission statement.
Next Friday, we'll have our youth club meeting, and this program started about two years ago, and we sometimes have 30 kids, sometimes we have 45 to 50 kids. Next Friday, we're going to have a meeting, but this time, the meeting is going to be different. What are the participants going to expect to see or hear next Friday?
Well, I'm really excited about this, and I think after after spending a few weeks talking to you, Darnarek, and to Seta as well about this, I think everybody's excited about this, and I think there's a need to be met. We do have a mission statement, which I'm going to read to you right now. Basically, it says that the St. Sarkis Youth Mentoring Program, which, again, I'll name the exact title next week, will aim at providing guidance, life lessons, and a sense of direction through a network of highly qualified professionals in a variety of fields. These professionals in different fields will provide information to members of the youth club via lecture format, as well as question and answer sessions. The youth members will also have direct access to these professionals outside of this forum that will enable them more direct mentoring. This program will help introduce our youth to different career options and to hopefully find a link with their current interests and hobbies. So from that, so what we'll do next Friday, unfortunately it's the 13th, but...
Who cares?
If Jason shows up, we'll take care of him. So next Friday, we'll introduce the program. We'll basically set the framework of what these youth members will expect. I'm going to briefly talk about how to define success, what are certain parameters or certain skill sets that you may need to achieve success.
So, Alex, the way you've described it, it sounds like this is an initial kickoff event, but what do we anticipate going forward in the future when this program gets formalized, and what would be the future steps?
Right. So for next Friday, again, it's just an introduction to the program. After that, Darnarek and I will sit down. We're going to send an email blast to the parishioners, and it's going to be an almost like an application format where the parishioners and or their contacts, and I'm sure a lot of parishioners have a lot of contacts in high levels, will apply for a lecture position on a monthly basis. So on a monthly basis, we'd like to have one lecture come in, and they can either have it in a PowerPoint presentation format or even a question and answer format. So some people may not be comfortable standing up and having just a PowerPoint presentation. If they're not comfortable with that or they're not experienced with that, then the alternative would be a question and answer format, which I think works out just as nice, sometimes even better. Almost like you guys do this show nicely together. I think, you know, they're not even vase. The combination you guys have now is, to me, has evolved from just a single person, you know, stating things to something a little more dynamic. And I think a question and answer format can be a little bit more dynamic and interesting to the, to the audience of young individuals.
But Alex, you mentioned about mentoring. How do you envision that to take place? Because we don't want to leave the impression that the participants will come here and listen to a lecture and go home.
Right. Of course, you know, like anything else, you know, continuity is important. Yeah, a lecture is going to be limiting, but having access to these mentors, for example, if someone is an engineer and comes in and talks about their story of engineering, the future of engineering, and a youth club member is interested in engineering, then they would, you know, hook up in the future and have that person mentor them, either come to their office, place of work, maybe study clubs that engineer has. So I'm going to try very hard to get a multitude of different professions. Of course, with the help of the parishioners, help you guys, I think we're going to get a nice group of professionals with a variety of backgrounds to not only lecture, but also continue that mentoring for many years to come.
Darnarek, you know, I'm always very impressed in talking to our parishioners and learning about their professional experiences, just how diverse this group is of professionals from all walks of life, from people in the hard sciences to people who are working in the academic professions. We've had many of these folks here on the podcast as well, and they've shared quite a bit with our listeners. And I think it's really an outstanding opportunity now for us to be able to harness what these people have to offer and to provide it to our children. So kudos to you guys, and kudos to Alex for envisioning this and trying to bring it into fruition. What do you anticipate to be down the road the net outcome? What would be the impact that you would like to see materialize in the future?
You know, I hope this is you know, inspires even the young members of the club to be teachers. I want everyone to be a teacher and teach each other. So the young adults that eventually have a young budding career would come back and hold someone else's hand. So this would be, you know, a revolving door of information and education, almost a think tank in our local community. And we want not only mentoring for careers, but we also want people to be exchanging ideas and information and, you know, foster critical thinking skills. There's so many positive things that can come out of this. I still don't know what's going to come out of this, but that's part of the excitement, is that we still don't know how it's going to evolve, but all we can do is, you know, one thing at a time, and we'll see where it leads.
Have you spoken to our youth about it, Dernarek? Is this the, have you had extensive dialogue with them about
their
needs?
We have communicated this to them. There is a level of excitement. I'm not going to say that everybody is excited, because they haven't experienced what it feels like, you know, to sit down and listen to a professional. But I'm trying to envision, you know, what it feels like for them. You know, if I was in their position, I would look at it and I would think, this is a great opportunity. There's a professional who's coming and telling us not only about how you become, let's say, an engineer or a scientist, but also to tell us about their own personal stories. You know, sometimes there's so much inspiration that can take place when you hear somebody's story of success and failure, as Alex, you mentioned earlier. So it will be really benefiting for our youth club members. But also, it will be benefiting for those who are coming and presenting, because this will be an opportunity for them to give back to the community. It's something that we've been hearing a lot, you know, create opportunities to give back, to volunteer. And this is happening on a volunteering basis. The time that you volunteer here, it will be benefiting not only that particular session, but it will help the club members and the participants to embrace a career path that will hopefully change their lives, you know, on a long term.
I'd love to see us develop a database of professionals that our youth can go to directly down the road once this system is formalized, whereby if you're interested in a particular profession, you have who knows how many other individuals, other peoples who have achieved success, to have that opportunity to sit down and talk with them and learn from them and get their guidance.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's easy for someone to volunteer because they're talking about their career and their story. So it's not like it's a stretch. They're not stretching out to another forum. This is their baby. This is their story. This is their profession. And they're sharing their ideas and their trials and tribulations with their careers, with the youth.
Alex, I think this is a very exciting project, and I'm really thankful that you are committing to work with us to make this a successful project for St. Sarkis Church. But before we let you go, I would like to ask you, what is your message to our listeners today?
Well, I encourage anyone that wants to participate and wants to give back to educating our youth, educating our children, to fill out that application form, which we'll send in the next few weeks, and send it back to us. We're going to definitely vet these applications and make sure all the right people join this youth club. And we hope to have monthly lectures starting in the new year. So I urge you to take this seriously. This is to help our youth. And this will help you indirectly as well. And this will be a way for you to give back to the young parishioners of the church. So help us achieve our children's dreams. An interesting quote, research indicates that students who are successful academically, in addition to support from parents and teachers, usually have sustained access to other knowledgeable and caring adults.
And I think St. Sarkis Church will provide that access to the participants. Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 through 9.
Remember your leaders, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. The Word of God.
It's a pretty short reading today, Beth, that comes to us from the Epistle to the Hebrews. I would like to talk about a few things. I think the first thing that I would like to talk about is the opening verse, verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. I think the author of this letter is reminding the recipients, the listeners, to remember those who brought to them the Word of God. And in this context, obviously, it is the New Testament, the good news, the gospel of the New Testament. And he says, remember your leaders.
Who are those leaders we're talking about specifically, though? It's not people in the life of the... because it's in the context of Hebrews, I figured it was the Pharisees or the leaders that were within the church or in their faith.
When we say Hebrews, we have to have in mind that this specific community were Christians of Israeli origins. They were those who accepted Jesus Christ, but they were people who knew very well the Old Testament. So therefore, the leaders probably are the apostles and their successors who brought the good news and spread the gospel to them. But the word remember is a very powerful word. We hear that throughout the scripture, but one of the most striking places that we hear this word is on the cross, when one of the thieves, turning to Jesus, says, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. So remembering is not the opposite of forgetting, but remembering in that context is to be together with. So when the author says, remember your leaders, he is probably suggesting that try to be just like your leaders. And there are elements that supports my theory that when we continue reading, the author says, imitate their life of faith. So it's not only to remember them that, oh, I had a good leader in my life, but try to be like them. So I think this is a very important reading because I think it was part of my sermon this past Sunday that we need to have the saints of our church to be role models to us so that we can learn how to imitate their life of faith and grow in that direction.
How do folks become more educated about the historical forefathers of the church, be it the Armenian church fathers or those from the Christian tradition from other churches? How do we learn about them and learn from their example?
Obviously, there are books that we can read. You know, there's literature out there that we can read about the Armenian church and also about the universal church and the church fathers of the various traditional churches. But my problem is that, you know, sometimes we think that we know everything. And for that reason, we keep ourselves away from the source of knowledge. The funny thing is that once we start the habit of researching and reading, you know, I personally can speak about myself, I come to realize that I don't know anything. And I feel bad that, you know, you don't know anything compared to the knowledge that is out there. And that inspires me to try to learn every day. So once you
That's very profound coming from you, Dad Nadig. You can imagine us lay folk, the fact that we don't even give enough time to our biblical teachings and learning directly from the source, let alone delving into the teachings of the church forefathers. So for me, that's the challenge, is how do we take from those lessons without actually acquiring the knowledge through in-depth analysis and readings that come from those individuals?
I kind of disagree with you, Veh, because if I asked you the same question, probably you would give a similar answer. Do you know everything in your profession? Do you think that, you know, you have mastered everything in your profession?
Absolutely not. We're always learning, and you realize with every passing day that you know less than you thought you did yesterday.
So it's important to have that mindset. You know, I have this problem with some of our parishioners who come with the mindset, oh, when I was young, I went to Sunday school and I know everything. I don't have to listen. I don't have to read. I don't, you know, it bothers me because maybe it's true. You went to Sunday school or Saturday school, but back in the day, you were a kid and what you learned, you know, that was a bite-sized knowledge that was given to you as a child, and things have evolved. Now you're as an adult. Don't you think it's a good time for you to come back to faith, to come back to church and try to explore things under the light of your maturity as a person?
Right. And I think that when you do, and you do that bit of self-reflection and recognize that you're lacking that the role of faith and the church in your life, you'll be enlightened about what you don't know. And you come to that realization by actually being exposed to it.
We're talking about evolving, you know, growing and maturing. But what we read, what you read in this text, we have something very profound, a statement that goes by, for Jesus Christ is the same forever and ever. You know, the only person who does not change is God, is Jesus Christ. And if we want to be like him, imitate him, he's the absolute role model for us to learn from and to try to better our lives following the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to recap, I would say a good place for us to start is to try to imitate the saints in our lives. And I encourage my listeners to have your own personal saint, you know, a role model for you, someone that you can learn from. But eventually, our greatest role model should be our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's hymn is called Hoki Astuzo. This is a Gomidasyan rendition of the hymn that is performed during the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Apostolic Church. We hope that you will enjoy listening to Hoki Astuzo. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank Mr. Veh, Mr. Greg, and our sponsors. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be always in your hearts. Amen. Okay.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.